Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate the tumult of this difficult life. We have a returning guest, one of our favorite guests that we've had on the show, Father Wayne Sattler. We're going to be talking to you about mental prayer, difficulties in mental prayer, Carmelite mental prayer, the progress to sainthood in prayer, all of that good stuff. Before we jump into the show and the conversation, there's actually going to be a book study on one of Father's great books called Remain in Me and I in You. And it's going to be open to anyone that has a pulse. I imagine angels can also attend, but mostly we're targeting those with a pulse. And it's going to start on April 25th. At 8 a.m. Central. And the way you can find out about that is spiritualdirection.com/book study. So let's go ahead and jump in and talk to Father Sattler. Stephanie, why don't you reintroduce him for folks who didn't watch the last show?
Father Wayne Sattler has been a priest of the Diocese of Bismarck since 1997. He was an instructor in two diocesan high schools for 3 years, served as a pastor for 16 years, and lived a life of prayerful solitude as a diocesan hermit for 6 years. During that time, as a fruit of this call as a hermit, Father Sattler gave retreats to priests and religious, particularly the missionaries of charity. In 2023, he began a new role as diocesan spiritual director for the Bismarck Diocese. And in this role, along with providing spiritual direction, he has given numerous retreats, talks, and parish missions. He is the author of the book, And You Will Find Rest, What God Does in Prayer, which is used as a text for a class he teaches annually at the University of Mary, as well as the permanent diaconate formation program in his diocese. And today we're going to be speaking about the beautiful work he's written in Remain in Me and I in You, relating to God as a person and not as an idea.
Welcome back to the show, Father Sattler. How are you doing? Well, happy Easter.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you, Dan and Stephanie. Thank you for this invitation. A great blessing to be here during the octave of Easter as well. Thank you.
Have you always followed the Carmelite path of prayer, or were there other approaches that you had learned before you discovered Carmelite wisdom?
That's an interesting question, Dan. I came pretty green to the experience of prayer, to be quite honest with you. I've always been influenced by the Carmelites to some degree. When I was living in Minneapolis and going to school there, I'd go out periodically and visit a Carmelite monastery out there and just pray out there. But it was interesting because when I began my seminary formation and in spiritual direction, my spiritual director started asking me if I've ever considered the contemplative life. And I said, why? He says, because you don't be seeming to go into meditation, you seem to go straight to contemplation. And I honestly didn't understand what he meant at that time. Again, I was very green to it all. And it was really then the writings of St. Teresa and St. John of the Cross that helped me to understand what he was talking about in a way that I don't think I would have ever understood otherwise.
So when you say you're green, you probably weren't green to prayer, meaning you were unfamiliar. You probably weren't unfamiliar with prayer itself, but you're unfamiliar with formal teachings on prayer. Is that a good way of saying that?
That would be a good way of saying it. Yeah, I wasn't versed as this book would walk a person through the difference between vocal prayer and meditation and contemplation. I would just simply spend time alone with God in my heart. And I would also obviously do vocal prayers. I was eventually instructed into the Liturgy of Hours and would obviously attend Mass and eventually daily Mass. But I never really had that good formal instruction into the different forms of prayer and how one could progress or express themselves in different ways there. It was just a natural relationship with the Lord that in my own nativity naturally led to contemplation, because that's what the Lord desires for every soul.
It's fascinating, isn't it? What it gives witness to is that the Lord not all of us require books or formal courses, or, you know, like we do at the Avila Institute to learn. Certainly those are all helpful and we should avail ourselves of them. And for you, it gave you a framework through which you could teach what you understood normally, but it's just a testimony to the generosity of God, isn't it?
It really is. Well, and even especially in our own weakness and woundedness, because to be quite honest with you, I think when it all began was I was in the second grade when my parents divorced, and I was the youngest of the children and would kind of be shuffled between the two places and spent a lot of time alone. And in that time alone, I would often spend it with God in my heart, just because I was looking for help and looking for guidance. And in his goodness to me and in my own weakness and woundedness, he led me to that place of prayer without me really knowing where I was being led to. And I think many souls are, and eventually, you know, the writings of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross helped me to understand what the Lord had done and then what he was doing in my soul and what he continues now to do also.
Beautiful. Now, I want to turn a corner and talk a bit about difficulties in prayer, because I've been really struck recently, and I don't know why, because I've been teaching prayer like you for a long time, but I think it was at a recent marriage retreat, and I was struck by how diligent and desirous the folks were to learn what it is we're talking about. Because we tell them, you know, in their divine intimacy and marriage retreats, we tell them that the divine intimacy secret is, if you get your spiritual life right, both husband and wife, everything else is going to be a lot easier. And if you don't do that, everything else is going to be a lot harder. And so, of course, getting your spiritual life healthy is one of the key elements is mental prayer. But what I was surprised by is that your experience isn't as common as another experience, at least in that context. And that is, people who have good desire, who want to know the Lord, who want to do what's right, who want to honor their spouses, who want to know what it is we're talking about, struggle to understand the concept of mental prayer. Like, what is it really about? Now, the marriage retreat isn't a class about mental prayer, which makes it harder because we just speak to it at a lighter level. But what have you encountered? What are the most common struggles that folks have that you encounter regarding how to enter into mental prayer?
Well, entering into mental prayer, I don't think that is the most common struggle, to be quite honest with you, because mental prayer is something that we can do. And St. Teresa of Avila is very clear about that too. Mental prayers is just spending time alone, as she says, with him whom we know loves us, and taking time to be frequently alone with him, and to use typically in our mind methods of meditation. Sacred scripture is the most common and perhaps most fruitful of them. We can use images, we can use other spiritual writers. I think, though, what the most difficult transition is when then the Lord begins to bring you into contemplation rather than mental prayer. Because it, as St. John of the Cross will write about it, everything kind of goes in reverse of what we thought should be happening. That typically in mental prayer, you do a certain thing and your heart is filled with a consolation for it, for spending that time with him. And suddenly we're not able to really meditate like we used to. We find ourselves distracted. We find ourselves in dryness. And everything suddenly seems to be working in reverse. And the mistake in it all is just to keep on pressing forward on that and pushing it, rather than just allowing your heart to go to where God would naturally draw it, and just to be still and know that he's God. As both of them will write, we just don't think that we can live without making that meditation. And sometimes we are instructed that way, you know, too. And I think it's a good, sincere effort, but I think we're missing that key part when the Lord just suddenly starts to draw you inward and into silence, and wants you to not make that effort to meditate and simply close your eyes and be alone with him in your soul. And especially because that it often begins with what we call a suspension of the senses. And when the senses are suspended, it's from the outside, it's going to look like you're falling asleep. And I really believe, and John of the Cross will write about this too, it's out of our due diligence that we fight against that. And to be honest with you, I mean, I work with souls in spiritual direction, and they fight against that for years, even with getting sound direction on it and direct writing references to it. There's just something in us that doesn't want to believe that allowing ourselves to be in that quiet and to seemingly do nothing is prayer. And that's the word, I think, the big conversion, and a true conversion needs to happen, which is just a true turning towards the Lord rather than to ourselves. The danger is we keep focusing on our own efforts rather than just allowing the Lord to lead us into that quiet and seemingly nothingness. But then, you know, as both of them will write, we'll experience something different in prayer, which is just like an expanding of the heart that will come out of that time of seeming rest, and will be refreshed in a way that meditating for hours could have never done.
It's really beautiful. We need to take a break. When we get back, Father, I'd like to ask you, in this time of contemplative prayer, what to do about distractions when your mind wanders hither and thither. I don't know that I said that right, but we'll be right back, and we'll join Father Wayne Sattler in this beautiful conversation about what God does in prayer. We'll be right back.
Friends, a great new course, brand new course at the Avila Institute that we want to tell you about is called The Priesthood of Christ and the Devotional Life. And so you are going to discover some beautiful truths, like the fact that our union with the Trinity is not mediated, it's immediate. Unlike the priests in the old law who stood between God and the assembly, Christ, our high priest, stands at no distance from his members. He's within us. If you want to learn more about that, go to avila-institute.org. That's avila-institute.org. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're here with Father Wayne Sattler, the author of two exceptional books on prayer, both of which have now become a part of the formation of the community of Apostolic VA because they're that good. The first one that you wrote, Father Sattler, was you didn't write these in order, and I don't know if you're going to get punished by God for that, but the first one is entitled what?
And you will find rest, what God does in prayer.
And so that one is really focused on, you know, this conversation we've already started to have right before the break. The second book you wrote, which is really about what precedes the first book in terms of the order of the way God works in prayer, is called Remain in Me and I in You, Relating to God as a Person and Not an Idea. And Stephanie and I we'll be leading a study on this, and Father Sattler has agreed to do some cameo appearances in that study. Spiritualdirection.com/book study is how you sign up. Costs nothing. We'll begin on April 25th, 2026, April 25th at 8 a.m. Central Time. And we'll be meeting the second and fourth Saturdays until we're done with the book, which should take about 10 years. I don't know exactly how long. That's a joke. We'll see how long it takes. So, Stephanie, did you want to pick up where you left off?
I did. I'm curious to hear what Father says about this. So when souls are brought into this interiority, drawn in inward to rest with the Lord, as you said, it can seem almost as if you're sleeping. And still, you know, the mind may wander on different, and I don't mean worries, more of just thoughts coming up, maybe an individual or whatever. Can you speak to that? Is that somebody going in and out of contemplation, where when there's nothing happening, or when there seemingly nothing's happening, that's contemplation? When the mind starts to wonder, perhaps it's something different. Is that just a distraction? And what to do with that? Because I know that a lot of people struggle with what happens when my mind wanders.
It's a very good question, and it's everybody experiences what you're talking about when they're really devoting themselves to prayer. That Saint Teresa of Avila will explain that she can't understand how the mind can be stopped, and the more that we try to stop it, the more it races. And she's right on. It's something that we can't do. And you know, Dan was alluding to the order of the books, and it kind of actually feeds into this, because the first book that I wrote, I was just so eager to share with people what God does in prayer, you know, and that in that book, eventually, St. Teresa of Avila will say that only he can stop our mind in that way and draw us gently inward and allow us to go into that rest. But we need to know what's happening, because we have to give our consent to that, and we can fight that off. But I think to your point then, is kind of why the second book has been written, because I think first, but before we get into what God can do, we have to understand who he is and what only he can do. To understand what a person can do, you have to know who they are. You know, is he a plumber? Is he an electrician? What can this guy do for me? And to really understand or appreciate who God is, we then can appreciate that there's things that only he can do. And when we do experience that restlessness in prayer and that distraction in prayer, I still experience it, obviously, in my own practice of prayer. Just to persevere through it, and as St. Teresa of Avila would say, do that which helps you love best in that time. Sometimes it's just good to make some acts of love towards God, because oftentimes in that distraction, he's really the last thing from my thoughts. I'm thinking only about myself and about all these things that I'm distracted about. And sometimes there's, you know, after a holy hour, I can just say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't think about you for more than 5 seconds in that whole time, you know? And it just, it's directing yourself back to who I get to be with in this time, who I'm privileged to spend this time with, just who it exactly is. And that's the simple method, just to retrace. Now, because sometimes, as John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila even talk about, you know, the devil will incite horrible thoughts sometimes that he wouldn't do otherwise, but he'll wait till your prayer time to do it during that time to kind of chase you away from prayer. And I think the helpful thing to know is that the Lord knows a thought before it's on your mind. He knows exactly what you're going through. Just persevere in that time that you have committed to him. And sometimes it won't happen, because if I'm like seeking from God, bring me into this rest, bring me into this rest, he won't do it. Because the first thing, as St. Teresa of Avila would say, is that we need to seek him without self-interest. That's a mouthful, because I've probably done it a handful of times, is seeking God without true self-interest. But in that is an opportunity to really just be aware of what a privilege it is to be in his presence and to be with him in that time. to persevere in it. I know I'm kind of going a little long, but I'm going to share a quick image that I think is sometimes helpful. There used to be these old Pink Panther movies with Peter Sellers, and he used to try to keep his training very well done. And before he would enter into a room, this Kato could attack him. And he would tell people before he goes into that room that no matter what you hear in there, don't open that door. Even if I scream to open that door, don't open that door, because this is part of my training. And I say, that's how we have to approach that time of prayer, that no matter what happens when I go into this like half hour that I've dedicated to him, I'm not going to open the door. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to persevere in this time with the Lord, because this is part of my discipline and training to renew in my heart that it's just whatever happens in that time, it's up to God. And I'm just there out of a privilege to be with him in that time.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. It reminds me, years and years ago, it must have been 15 years ago or more, we were in the Cathedral, I think, of the Immaculate Conception in Denver, Colorado, where Archbishop Chaput was
presiding.
Mm-hmm. And I went into confession, not knowing who the confessor was, and was discussing, you know, distractions in prayer, and it turned out to be Archbishop Chaput. And so he said to me, he said, young lady, has anybody ever told you what to do with the distractions? And I said, no. And he goes, put them on the altar. Just put them on the altar. And I've never forgotten it. For me, what has been really helpful is when those distractions come, when an individual is brought to my heart or a situation, I just place them on the altar and I let them go. Lord, I give you this one, and then I rest, you know, and then I try to be recollected again and let the Lord do what he's going to do. But to give them to him gives me some way to, rather than trying to resist them or anything else, just a very gentle movement of, and I give you this one. And then when another one comes, I give you this one, and Lord, bless them, heal them, restore them. And then, you know, thy will be done. So that's been helpful.
Before we come to a close, I want to let our listeners know, if you are interested in Carmelite prayer and interested in encountering Carmelite saints like Saint Therese of Lisieux or Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity or the Curie of Ars, Saint John Vianney.
If you want to go to Lourdes.
If you want to go to Lourdes, we have a pilgrimage coming up that we'd like to invite you to. And it's not like normal pilgrimages. It's not a spiritual vacation. It's actually going deep in the teachings and immersion into the places where these saints are and can meet you there. If you're interested in going to Carmelite France with us, that's coming up July 24th to the 4th of this year, 2026. And you can find out more at spiritualdirection.com/events. You can find out about all of our events there. And we'd love to have you join us, and we'll be closing those registrations sometime soon. So if you have any interest in going, go out to spiritualdirection.com/events. The other thing is, of course, related to this conversation with Father Sattler, we have a book study coming up, and that's for free. It doesn't cost you anything. And you can sit in your living room and join us via Zoom.
In your pajamas.
In your PJs if you want, but just don't, you know, make sure the camera is properly positioned. We're going to be walking through Remain in Me and I in You, relating to God as a person, not as an idea. That'll begin on April 25th of 2026. And you can connect with us there at spiritualdirection.com/bookstudy. I do strongly recommend that if you care about going deeper with the Lord, if you care about becoming a saint, if you care about staying on the narrow way, if you care about being a man or a woman of virtue, pick up Father Wayne's books, Remain in Me and I in You, in particular, is the one you should read first. And I have no doubt that you'll be blessed and drawn ever more deeply into the heart of God. Father Sattler, thanks for being with us again on Divine Intimacy Radio. I know it's way too brief of a conversation to dive into these things, but hopefully folks will follow up. You know, I should also say, I'm currently teaching a course. It's not open anymore because there's over 100 students, in called Foundations of Prayer and Union with God at the Avila Institute. So one of the things about Divine Intimacy Radio, spiritualdirection.com, is this is a doorway to 102,000 ways to grow in the interior life. That's all we do, is repropose Catholic, authentic Catholic mystical tradition, both to priests, pre-seminarians, those priests who want to become spiritual directors, priests who are called to go deeper in their own interior life, laity from all over the world. So if you want to find out anything about us, check us out at spiritualdirection.com. And we have a new website that's launching that you'll see today. If you've been there before, it'll be different today, or at least as we're recording this. When this recording comes out, it'll be about a week old. So anyway, Father Sattler, thank you again for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for your interest in these books and for bringing them to more souls. And I just a little nugget. I mean, what Stephanie said was so right about the distractions in prayer. And I just, an encouragement to those who are experiencing that constantly, you know, bringing it to the altar. We never know how efficacious that is in prayer. That when you are persevering in that time of prayer and keep putting it on the altar again and again and again, the Lord can be using that in much more profound ways than you'll ever know on earth. So just an encouragement there, and then just a deep word of gratitude to both Dan and Stephanie for your love for prayer and your love for souls and really wanting to help others grow closer in their relationship with Christ. So God bless you and your continued efforts.
Thank you.
Yeah, you as well, Father. Know that you are in our prayers, and we're so grateful for your priesthood. So thank you so much for such a beautiful conversation today. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.